details or looking beautiful in picturesque Monterey Bay, and bring you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to, but they're my views and the views of our guest. And this afternoon we have with us Christy Diamond, and we're going to be talking about Mercury. Now, there's been a lot of talk in the last few days, a lot of articles written about the fact that some of our cats and dogs have been poisoned by something in the dog food. And a recent study showed, I think, 1 in 6 of the pets that ate some of this contaminated food had succumbed or become violently ill, and an awful lot of them have had kidney failure, and a certain number across the nation have died. Nobody knows what it is. Some people say it might be something having to do with the wheat gluten and new wheat gluten that have been included. But certainly they've recalled, you know, I don't know, the hundreds of thousands of cans of pet food. It's going to cost millions and millions of dollars to get rid of this food if you're not certain that it's really safe. But our attention is focused on something that's happening to our pets. And yet every day, people across America are being poisoned. But if the media never mentions it, our attention is never focused on that issue. Well, with us is Christy Diamond, and she's been working for some time to really try to bring out the fact that we're being poisoned. We're being poisoned with mercury in our fillings. We're being poisoned with mercury in our vaccines. The government knows what's going on. They've actually held meetings, and we're going to be talking a little bit about the Simpsonwood conference that was held. It was held a number of years ago by the CDC, a top secret meeting that was marked top secret afterwards, and there were representatives there from the World Health Organization and the vaccine manufacturers and the government and the American Academy of Pediatrics. And it was very obvious that, because they fortunately took a transcript of what was said, word for word, it's quite obvious that they came to the conclusion that the mercury in the vaccines was poisoning our children and leading to autism, and all the studies showed that. But they've lied to the American people. They put out a report having nothing to do with what was said. Why? Because they can't let the American people know that they've lied to us again about the vaccines being safe and effective. And they know today 1 in every 150 children is autistic. It used to be 1 in 10,000. When we were talking a few years ago, it was 1 in 165. Now it's 1 in 150, and the number is increasing. They also, of course, know that 1 in 6 American children has a neurodevelopmental abnormality. But, oh, shucks, the government has no idea why. And the trouble is, they do know why, but there are certain people in key positions who, you know, have no intention of addressing the issue because they have a different worldview, a different agenda, and they are not concerned about human suffering, human tragedy. Much more concerned about those cats and dogs, but not about human beings. Christy, thanks very much for being with us.
Hey, how are you, Dr. Stan?
I'm doing fine. So why don't you bring us up to date with the latest things in this struggle to try to educate the American people about the fact that we ought to be just as concerned about the poisoning of our children and the destruction of their minds and the destruction of the future leaders, of potential leaders of this country, as we are with cats and dogs.
Well, it's really mind-boggling to any reasonable person. These children that belong to us, our babies, are being mandated to go to school with vaccines. Their parents and the children are having mercury amalgam fillings placed in their mouth, predisposing them to an overexposure of mercury. And then they market to the American people that, oh, you're eating too much fish. And so we've got a huge problem, but there are many, many wonderful advocates who are out there.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a minute. Hold that thought.
Government is best, which governs least.
Wake up and smell the fascism.
Being in government means never having to say you're sorry.
What part of unconstitutional do you not understand, George?
In today's world full of tyranny and injustice, sometimes it seems the only thing we still have is our freedom of speech. Exercise your freedom of speech by purchasing your choice of hundreds of different Liberty stickers, from humorous to serious, at LibertyStickers.com. LibertyStickers.com can even customize your own bumper stickers. It's time to stand up for what you believe. Invest in your freedom. Get your stickers at LibertyStickers.com for your family, friends, and community. Go to LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. That's 877-873-9626. And express your freedom of speech today. Call 877-873-9626. That's 877-873-9626.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones introducing you to the incredible Berkey Solar Charger, your source for free solar electricity. This portable system is the size of a book when folded and small enough to fit into a briefcase, handbag, or glove compartment. The Berkey Solar Charger has been designed to power the Berkey Lights LED lamps as well as other applications such as mobile phones, radios, digital cameras, and PDAs when electricity is not available. Its multi-voltage capabilities, multiple adapters, and rechargeable batteries provide for a flexible source of auxiliary backup power. Simply place the Berkey Solar Charger in the sun, plug in your application, and you have power. Disconnect your application, and the system automatically begins charging its own rechargeable batteries. Get the incredible Berkey Solar Charger for only $75 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438.
This is Elizabeth Border, author of the two-book set, America Attacked and Chaos and Chemtrails. I wrote these books because I believe that every American should have the vital chemtrails research info. I was much heartened and encouraged when a radio listener recently wrote me, quote, "You are truly a great writer, so clear and powerful and thorough in your communication. You have the strength to forge ahead in the midst of darkness, and you also believe in the power of goodness and truth. I hope you listeners will order these crucial books. Send your check for $32 post-paid to Radio Liberty, P.O. Box 969, Soquel, S-O-Q-U-E-L, California, 95073. $32 to Radio Liberty, Box 969, Soquel, California, 95073. Or call 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927.
And I might add to Elizabeth Border, if you were listening to her, that's for both books. You get both books for the price, not just the one book. So it's a pretty good deal, about $16 each. Now, right now, of course, we have Christy. And is it Diamond or Diamond?
It's Diamond.
All right, Christy Diamond. And Christy is one of those people on the front lines of the battle trying to get the truth out. So, Christy, tell us what's really going on.
Well, what we've got is we've got two fronts going at the FDA right now. Next week there's actually a hearing on the amalgam issue where the FDA has been sued by Moms Against Mercury because they refuse to classify mercury amalgam as a class 1, 2, or 3 device. They were required to do so since 1976, and they say that there's not enough data, not enough evidence to know that it's safe, but you know, you and I both know that there's just thousands and thousands of documentations out there that show that it's absolutely not safe.
But of course, the thing is that the law requires them to prove it's safe, not to us to prove it's unsafe. And
well, and
they're just ignoring the law.
Court records now is that it's not their job. But you know, the position on our side would be it is absolutely their job to protect the American people. And so they're actually going to have the hearings next week at the D.C. Court of Appeals on 3333 Constitution Avenue Northwest in Washington, D.C., and the public can attend that if you happen to be in the area. And then on the other side of it, there are the mercury-contaminated vaccines, which they have almost a tandem action going on where COMED, which is to get mercury out of drugs versus the ADA, they're arguing the same argument. And recently what happened was there was a technicality where the judge said, well, you know, I'm going to dismiss this. You have to go back and correct this technicality, and then you can refile your appeal. And so that's where they are. But it's really coming to a head. These people in our health agencies, you know, there's some folks that need to go to jail for this. They have created a massive event on our population, absolutely massive. We're going to try and bring some attention to it through the Simpsonwood Rally June 6th through 7th. And it's significant because this is the seven-year anniversary of the Simpsonwood meeting where they had the Verstraten report, and they invited all these doctors and physicians and scientists and representatives of the pharmaceutical company to this meeting. Nobody from the public, and there was a definite correlation that an event had occurred, and then they embargoed all the information and spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on marketing to the American people, telling everyone that there was nothing to worry about. So, ironically, this piece of property is owned by the United Methodists, and it was gifted to them by a woman named Simpsonwood. And hundreds of years ago, this land belonged to the Cherokees. And when the Europeans came in to try to steal the property from the Indians, they actually gave them blankets that were contaminated with the smallpox virus, and in an attempt to wipe out the Cherokees so they could just take the land. And it seems like history is repeating itself somewhat here with the Verstraten and the Simpsonwood meeting. And we want to bring attention to that fact that they're continuing to poison our babies. And there's no one stepping up and taking responsibility for this. But at least they could do is come up and say, gosh, you know, we really made a huge mistake. We didn't know it was bad. But it's really too late for that now. They could have. There was a point in time where they could have said, gosh, we didn't really realize it. We're going to take it out of drugs. But instead, they continue putting it in drugs.
Well, right now, what about, of course, they will insist that they've taken it out of childhood vaccines. And how can we counter that statement?
Well, their definition of child vaccines doesn't include the flu virus or flu vaccine. It doesn't include hepatitis B, and both of those have full bolus doses of thimerosal, which is ethyl mercury. And they are mandating our children to take them to school. And they don't do any clinical trials on these vaccines, by the way. I mean, you know, even the HPV virus, you know, it's a really huge leap from saying that that's going to cure cancer. Well, for how long? Have you done 20 to 30 years worth of study on it? No. What is this about? It's about profit. It's about pharmaceutical profit. They don't care who they kill or maim.
Well,
and
it ruins
people. It ruins them financially and emotionally. The thought of having a nice family without sickness is absolutely a dream now.
Well, I think that it's important people know how to counter that statement. We've taken the mercury out of childhood vaccines. You've taken the mercury out of the childhood vaccines for diseases, the communicable diseases of childhood specifically. But you've not taken it out of vaccines that are given to children. So what they're doing is playing a word game, because they have mandated this to be given to children at 6 months of age, knowing full well it contains a full dose of mercury. And they, of course, mandated this be given to, or at least advised it be given to pregnant women in the first trimester of pregnancy, when it'll do the maximum damage. And it's contained in Rogaine, which is given to women who, you know, have children where there's Rh incompatibility. So they're giving the mothers, and the mothers are giving it to the children, and the government knows that. We have to ask ourselves, why are they doing it? And some people say profit. I happen to believe that there are people there who have a different worldview. And there have always been those down through every generation. But they're working today where they can do the maximum amount of harm. They're working in the Environmental Protection Agency, and they're working in the CDC, and they're working in the FDA. And when you understand that there are people who really do want to do harm, then you can begin to understand what this is all about. And the Simpsonwood cover-up. Now, why don't you tell the story of Simpsonwood? You mentioned that there was a meeting there. What year was the meeting?
Well, the meeting was 7 years ago, so that put it in 2000.
Right.
And they a bunch of parents had been bringing this to the CDC's attention, the Centers for Disease Control, and the FDA. And they had this study that Thomas Verstraeten had done. He was on a fellowship at the CDC at the time. And he did, it was like, I believe it was total around 50,000 children. So statistically, this was a huge amount and unlikely to have a much of a margin of error. He found a true correlation between the rate and epidemic that we have of autism and ADD and the vaccines and the amount of thimerosal that the kids were being mandated by our government health agencies. And he kind of, I think he spoke before the powers to be got him to zip up his lips, and they had this emergency meeting. This was an emergency meeting. And they brought all the powerful heads in. What was first disturbing to me was when I saw that there were pharmaceutical representatives there, because what business is it of theirs to be there on the moral aspect of it? And what they did is they tried to, in every way, derail Verstraeten's study. There were dissenters out in the audience. If you look at the transcript, which is readily available all over the place on the Internet now, and obviously the transcript landed in the opponent's camp, and it was published. But it's just absolutely unconscionable and astounding that any moral person could allow this to continue. And here it's 7 years later. I mean, 7 years ago, I would have thought, oh, they've taken out of it, you know, in 7 years. Instead, they do everything within their power to cover it up, create a controversy, and the science clearly shows there's an issue. You don't have to be a nuclear scientist to figure this out. There is a problem, and there is a direct line correlation, and they're hiding it.
Well, of course, Dr. Verstraeten had access to these CDC databanks, which they'd gotten from the HMOs. And some of the large HMOs had given one group of children vaccines with the thimerosal, and others did not get the thimerosal. So they could actually check the difference between those that got thimerosal-containing vaccines and those who didn't. And when they found that, you know, that there was a great deal of harm done to the children who were on the thimerosal vaccine, taking the thimerosal-containing vaccines, they concealed the evidence and they continued doing it. Now, to their credit, they did take the mercury out of the childhood vaccines, which were childhood diseases, but they kept it in, and they actually put in a new schedule so that the children would be given the influenza shots, just as harmful, and they mandated it to be given, of course, to pregnant women in the first trimester of pregnancy. Why would you give something that was potentially harmful during the first trimester that you knew was potentially harmful unless you wanted to do harm? And I would just like to read something that Elie Wiesel wrote. It was called One Generation After. He was writing about the Holocaust, and this is what he said. There was then a technique, a science of murder, complete with specialized laboratories and business meetings and progress charts. Those engaged in its practice didn't belong to a gutter society of misfits, nor could they be dismissed as just a collection of rabble. Many held degrees in philosophy, sociology, biology, general medicine, psychiatry, and the fine arts. There were lawyers among them, and unthinkable but true, theologians. He was talking about the Nazi mentality. Of course, it allowed the terrible things to go on that went on in the German concentration camps. People don't understand that man has not changed. And there are people just as evil today working at the highest echelon of our government. That's why you need to get the Simpson Wood material. That's why you need to get Christie's material. That's why you need to understand why it is that women, for instance, who work in dental offices, have such a high incidence of infertility and, of course, miscarriage, and why so many of the dentists are mercury toxic, and they're so mercury toxic they don't even know they're mercury toxic. And we're going to talk about this and so many other things when we get back. And you've got to get the information, and you've got to help us get it to your dentist. and to people who really care about children.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
To Dr. Blaylock a minute ago up on the internet, and you can find it at Mercola.com. And do you have the Simpsonwood report on your website at all, Christy?
I have a link to it, as well as the documentary work that we did to cover, basically educational work, as you were talking about before, to make it available to the general public so they can really understand. They can actually see it in action. We've got one DVD called Mercury, a Slow Death, which is about the issues with the dental amalgam and studies and the history and how we got to where we are. And we also have another DVD called What Really Happened at the Institute of Medicine. And there you get to see all the scientists who testified at this very famous vaccine safety committee that they had at the Institute of Medicine that was advising the CDC, but actually the CDC was advising them, about whether there was any causal connection between autism and thimerosal. And clearly, if anyone had been in that room all day long, there were scientists that were so upset, including Congressman Weldon. He was just spitting. He was so angry. He didn't have a welcome. He didn't have a welcome speech. He was the keynote speaker. He had a, boy, you guys better get yourselves in line. I am really angry about this. I mean, he was dynamic. But there were about 15 people who spoke that day. And the only people who were wishy-washy were people who they had placed there from the CDC. It was unbelievable.
Well, unfortunately, the CDC is not there to protect us, and the sooner the American people realize that, the sooner they'll begin to take action to get rid of these people. They should be fired with no pension, and many of them, I believe, should go to prison for the rest of their lives because they've destroyed the minds of our children. I know Dr. Mark Geyer and his son actually got into the CDC database with the help of Congressman Weldon. They found the difference between the children who got the mercury-containing vaccines and those who did not, a 27-fold difference. I believe that's the figure. Do you recall that?
I don't remember the exact figure, Dr. Stan, but they had a great deal of difficulty getting into that database. It took them 2 years to get in there four times. They had someone in another room that was busy blacking out and obfuscating information. They tried to corrupt the database so that they couldn't get it. It went on and on, just, you know, everything from that to the dog ate it, where they finally got the database with Dr. Weldon's help. He's a doctor as well. And they not only found a direct line correlation with autism and ADD, but they also found direct correlation with asthma and diabetes. And they're publishing on this right now.
Well, I think it's so vitally important, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to destroy a nation, you destroy the next generation. And that's exactly what they're doing.
They know what they're doing.
They just don't want the American people to know. Now, Sydney, and this is covered very well in Christie's material. Actually, we do carry... Now, what about the DVD called Without Informed Consent? Which one is that one?
Oh, Uninformed Consent is the name of our nonprofit, and
okay.
So the DVDs have their own titles.
I see.
And one is Mercury, a Slow Death, which is on the dental issue,
and
What Really Happened at the IOM is on the vaccine issue.
Okay, we actually carry Mercury, a Slow Death, and
I believe you may have some of the other one as well.
Right, we do actually have a few of those as well. So let's talk a little bit, and I think it's so important that people know what we're doing to the dentist and the dental assistants. We talked before we went on the air a couple of days ago about the studies on the dental assistants, these young women who go to work in a dental office. They have some training, and they're exposed all day long, every day, to the mercury fumes and the mercury vapors. What happens to their fertility? What happens to their ability to carry children? Is there any difference between them and regular people?
But, you know, they have no informed consent whatsoever when they go into that field, and they have the highest reproductive dysfunction rate in the nation. And everything, you know, from endometriosis to cystic ovaries, cystic breast, to cancer, to Raynaud's disease, cloudy thinking. And, of course, once you get into the cloudy thinking, you know, it's very difficult to decipher whether you're being safe or not.
Right. I mean, your thinking is so cloudy that you don't even know how sick you are. And we're going to be back here in just a few minutes to talk about the dental technicians, to talk about the dentists. And then we'll take your calls here at Radio Liberty.
Order a copy of this show for your friends and family at GCNLive.com or call 877-300-7645.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
More than 700 chemicals have been found in our drinking water. And did you know that you can have greater exposure to these chemicals by taking hot showers than when you drink the water? That's because many chemicals are inhaled when they evaporate, and others are absorbed through the skin. The KDF shower filter is designed to reduce chlorine, lead, mercury, and iron, and it inhibits the growth of bacteria, mold, algae, and fungus in your shower. The media is non-toxic, environmentally sound, and is recyclable. The KDF shower filter will typically last 10,000 gallons or 1 year, whichever comes first. Hospitals, restaurants, and water treatment facilities use this media to reduce chlorine, iron, heavy metals, and bacteria. What about you? Order your KDF shower filter, normally $49, for our special price of only $35, a $14 savings. Call now to order at 1-888-803-4438. Order today and save $14 by calling 1-888-803-4438.
The disciples asked Jesus in Matthew 24, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, disease, and earthquakes in many places." We are living in this time of Earth's history. Many people are trying to understand the climactic world events in light of human wisdom. But without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. 2 Peter says, "We have a more sure word of prophecy, and you do well if you take heed. But first know this, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation." The Bible says, "We'd like you to receive this new offer, Packet B, The Unholy Alliance." These materials document the global leaders, political and religious, behind the scenes. You will receive information regarding America in prophecy, tyrants and wars, the New World Order, and much more. As always, these materials are shipped to you at no charge. Please call 1-888-211-1715. That's 1-888-211-1715. And ask for Packet B.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the Genesis Communication Network, and Chris, our guest is Christy Diamond. We're talking about what happens to the dental technicians, and Chris, so many of them will have, you know, difficulty getting pregnant, they'll have miscarriages, and what about their children when they are born? Has anybody done any studies on them? Is there an increase in instances of autism or ADD or ADHD?
Absolutely. Dr. Boyd Haley did a study a number of years ago where they were able to obtain, you know how mothers take the lock of their children when they're first born, put it in their scrapbook, and they were able to obtain 100 of those, and they tested them for the mercury content in their hair and then correlated them as to whether they were non-autistic or autistic and so forth. And interesting that the children with no mercury in their hair, or very little, were the children who became autistic or whose mother had no amalgam fillings. And Dr. Haley was actually able to determine how many amalgam fillings the mother had with that test as well, which was an unexpected result. It was pretty exciting. And that put the scientific community in a direction where we understood that there was a subset of children who were unable to excrete the mercury, and they were very likely set up for this by being born to a mother and father, to some degree, with amalgam fillings in their mouths.
All right. Now, one of the interesting things that's come out recently is this urine test for porphyrins. And porphyrins are, porphyrins are a breakdown product of the red cells. But, of course, they can test for this. And why? Now, the exact reason, I don't know, but if a dentist or anybody is mercury toxic, even a child who has been given the vaccines and, is a mercury toxic, why they'll have porphyrins in the urine. This is actually being used increasingly as a test for autism. So,
well, it's very interesting because the reason that there's a particular porphyrin that a French doctor had, a scientist had isolated, it has an atom of mercury in it, so it doesn't exist unless there's mercury present. So it turns out that it's a really good marker for body burden. And it's non-invasive in that you don't have to take blood or anything like that. You get a first morning urine sample, and you can send it off to, actually there's some tests here in the United States, in LabCorp that does this, and you can send it off, and if they are positive, you know that there's a problem with mercury in that particular person. And it's actually fairly well documented from about 40 studies in the National Institutes of Health, but no one seems to know about it, except for it's been recently researched, and it was Mark and David Geyer who went and looked up the research, and it's just overwhelming that they've known about this porphyrin issue for many, many, many years. And it's all a new thing to really us. But it turns out that if somebody wants to argue with you about whether an autistic or ADD child has a mercury problem, you say, okay, well, why don't you take this cup and go have your child tested? It's very easy, and we'll see if the porphyrin test comes back positive. Then you'll know.
And because this is a specific porphyrin, it's not just any porphyrin, but
porphyrin. There is a specific porphyrin. You can actually test for other heavy metals, but there is a specific one for mercury.
All right, fine. Now, what about dentists? I mean, how often do the dentists have a positive test?
Almost always.
Almost always. In other words, really, almost all of the dentists are mercury toxic. And because they're mercury toxic, many of them have affected their mind. And this is why dentists, they may be a good dentist, but they're not able to think effectively about these issues, and which is why they refuse to do the studies, themselves on the disastrous effects of the fillings they're putting in people's mouths, or the disastrous effects of the fluoride that they're advocating being put in people's water, because their minds have been poisoned. The old adage was, he was mad as a hatter. You remember that from Alice in Wonderland? Well, of course, the hatter was making hats, and hatters used mercury. And that's exactly what the dentist does all day long, every day, at least those who are foolish enough to still use it, although my understanding is that some of the dentists have caught on and switched over to other products, other composites. Is that true?
Well, that's true. We're starting to see a change. The problem exists in that there are a certain portion of the dental community who are seeing readily that they're losing business because somebody calls them up and says, hey, do you use mercury? And they go, no, I'm mercury-free now. And so the next day they hang out a shingle that says that they're mercury-free, but they haven't done any training, and many of them won't because it's very dangerous to remove the mercury. They also have to train themselves on how to put in the composite because it's a whole different way of putting in fillings, and it requires some training and practice. But they can represent to the public that they're mercury-free, and the consumer just automatically assumes that there's some kind of oversight. There is none. They get to do what they want because they have developed this rapport of standardization in their community through the American Dental Association. And many of them are outright dangerous to go to. And they may be nice people, and I would also subscribe to the idea that they know not what they're doing because their mind has been so contaminated. But there are some who do get it. There are some who have actually gone and done the training, but they're very few. And it's very hard for a consumer to wade their way through this labyrinth of obstacles without knowing what to do to protect themselves. And that's one of the reasons that we made up the DVDs that you're selling, so that it would give at least an open door to consumers so they can at least walk into a dentist's office and know whether they're in some kind of danger or not. Because these people don't really know what their whole community, their dental community, has done to them and the hygienist. They have no idea. They wouldn't believe that somebody could be that evil.
Well, our telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. Now, I've talked to people who've had their dental amalgam taken out and ended up with mercury toxicity because it wasn't done properly. So, you know, as my good friend David Kennedy, Dr. David Kennedy is a dentist, says, you know, if you're going to go to a dentist who doesn't know what he's doing, you're better off to leave the amalgam in. I mean, or find a dentist who knows what they're doing, and you can find them up on the website IAOMT.org, I believe it is, IAOMT, the International Association of Oral Medicine and Toxicology.org, and you can pull, there's a list there of the dentists all across America, the dentist closest to you who's taken the training, who can safely take out your dental amalgam. But don't just go in there and say, I want to get it out, and the guy says, sure, you know, just sit down there and I'll get it right out for you. And I know from my own personal experience, when I had my dental amalgam taken out, it was done by a very talented individual. He did everything right. When he took down the dam, which was an inflated ball of plastic in the back of my throat, I got a bolus of mercury, and I will tell you, I had no idea. And my heart began to race, and I suddenly realized, you know, I've been temporarily poisoned. Unfortunately, I didn't get that much. If I have a residual, I'm not aware of it, but let me tell you, you can have a residual. This is nothing to take lightly. But of course, if you don't get it out, well, you continue venting, and you're just chronically mercury intoxicated, and the government knows that. In fact, there was a hearing, wasn't there? A major hearing? What actually happened at that hearing?
Which hearing are you talking about?
Well, this is the one on the dental amalgam.
Oh, the one in the Committee for Government Reform?
Right.
There were actually several of those. You know, they went kind of like the vaccine hearings went. You know, the FDA got on there, and Dan Burton, Representative Burton, just really made mincemeat out of them. But my understanding is when he went to the U.S. Department of Justice to file criminal charges against some of them, they refused. You know, something going on today about that. They refused to do their due diligence and file charges or to even conduct an investigation. And this was almost 5 years ago now. In fact, I think it was 5 years ago. And I can tell you that, you know, in my documentary I have, you know, special lighting on a 50-year-old amalgam filling where you can see the vapor coming off.
Now, that's the sort of the smoking tooth.
The smoking tooth, and I took that video myself, and I lost my vocabulary for a day. I mean, I could speak about every other word. That's how quickly it happened. And I had precautions. I was wearing a mask. I had my skin covered up. You know, we did as many precautions as we could, but I still had a reaction to the mercury.
And I think this is really frightening. And basically what it is, it's just a tooth that somebody's pulled out that has, you know, mercury in it, had it in for 50 years, and they just put in the forceps, and they heat it up to about 105 degrees, which is what you'd get with hot coffee. And then if they hold it in front of this mercury screen, we can actually see the mercury fumes coming off.
It was off-gassing at room temperature, Dr.
Right.
Stan, too. We brought it up to 105 degrees, but it was off-gassing the entire time. It just off-gassed more when it got warmer.
So, you know, if you have the dental fillings in, you are constantly getting a toxic dose of mercury, and they're damaging the minds of the American people. And certainly there are ways to get around this and other things that you can take that will help you to get the mercury out of your body. And you really need to. And there's different chelation techniques. But that's not the subject what we're talking about. First of all, we've got to convince the American people that they're poisoning the public, they're poisoning our children, They're poisoning the dental technicians. They're poisoning the dentists.
And this and our one, elderly.
And the elderly, sure.
And
you're talking
elderly.
About with the influenza shots.
That's right.
Well, what sort of results you get? Do you think that more people are really beginning to understand that there really are people who know exactly what they're doing and they're working at the highest levels of our government?
Well, I don't know that they're working at the highest level, but I certainly know some very honorable people who are scientists who did work in the government, who are have given up their lives, essentially, to fight this issue, me included. There are more and more, I'd say we're having a collective consciousness occur. You know, 5 years ago when I talked to people about that, they had a tendency to want to look at me like I had three heads, and now they really do pay attention to what I'm telling them, and uninformed consent is becoming stronger as well as far as getting this information out to the public. But the basic premise is the public must get educated. And once they understand, and it doesn't take, you know, a brilliant person to understand this, once you understand how it works, it's really a no-brainer. I got it. And I'm not a scientist that has three paper degrees behind me, but I get it. And if I can get it, I think just about anybody can get it. And what happens is they will drive the market with their purchasing dollar. And that's, you know, part of what's driving this whole thing is, of course, sick people have to take pharmaceutical drugs in order to alleviate the symptoms that they have. And that is a huge issue. It's called profiteering by the pharmaceutical companies.
Well, I think it's vitally important that people understand that the evidence is there, the scientific studies are there. In fact, we have a wonderful DVD, and it's a talk that was given by Dr. Ayoub, who was has done a tremendous amount of research on that. You get either the DVD or the video. But along with that, we give you, if you buy it free of charge, a CD-ROM that has thousands of pages of documentation on it, of all the studies that are out there that, beyond any shadow of a doubt, points out, of course, that they know that how toxic this mercury is. And you'll see the Burton report there, a report from Congressman Dan Burton, who's been trying to get the truth out, and the reference to all of this information. You go through this, and all of the scientific studies that the CDC relies on, you know, to tell you how safe, for instance, the mercury in the thimerosal is. It shows you their studies. And what happened? Why, they gave it to a number of people, and they all died, and they said, see, that means it's safe, because they died of meningococcal meningitis. They didn't die of thimerosal, so nobody died of thimerosal.
Yeah, and you said,
that's crazy talk.
In the 30s that they like to quote. They totally misrepresent studies. That's not the only one. They misrepresent the flu epidemic in the 1918. They misrepresent the statistics coming out of the hospital. They take the pneumonia statistics and add them to the flu. And then they say, oh, you know, 30,000 people died of flu. Well, no, you can't do statistics that way. It is a total, absolute lie. And we haven't been sophisticated enough as a community to understand that people would lie to us in this way, but they have.
What's that old adage, you know, that figures don't lie, but liars can sure figure. Well, people are always making up statistics, and believe me, they're making up statistics now. And you need to have the scientific studies. You need to understand that your safety, the safety of your family, the safety of your friends, and the future of our society rests upon bringing out the truth about this issue. And once people can begin to understand that they're poisoning our children, and they're poisoning our elderly, and they're poisoning our dentists, and they're poisoning the dental technicians, and they're poisoning everybody who goes into a dentist's office today if they get mercury fillings. And over in Sweden, they won't even pay to get a mercury filling put in. They have a socialized dental system. They'll pay to get the mercury fillings out, but not to put the mercury fillings in. In Sweden, they understand what's going on. I'm amazed they're so much smarter over there than they are here. Aren't you, Christy?
I am. And you know, another way that they have managed to get mercury into our environment, it's very subtle, is the dental waste from the dental offices. You know, you wouldn't think that's very much, mercury, because it's such a tiny amount. But they put it down the drain into our sewer systems. And all across our nation, in the biosolids utilities, they take this dental stuff and they recondition it. They take some of the toxins out and they call it sludge. In some cases, they sell it to a third-party vendor. Sometimes they give it away directly to our farmers. And our farmers put it out as fertilizer. But in no case have they removed the metals, the heavy metals, from this. So what happens is you've got a, it turns out in Washington State, it would take 3,000 dentists, which is, you know, what, the Northwest area, take 3,000 dentists 7 months and 10 days to completely contaminate one-third of the state, which would represent our farmland. So that's been going on for, what, 20 years maybe? So how did it get into the fish?
They allowed it to get into the fish, and they're pointing to the fish to take your attention off the other important issues going on, I guess. Well, Christy, let's get your website out.
Okay, it's uninformedconsent.org.
Uninformedconsent.org. Go there, read, learn, and help us get the truth out. Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making...
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
The dollar has lost over 50% of its value in the last 3 years, and it is still falling, while gold has gone up over 60% in the last 3 years. As the dollar continues to fall, you have a well-thought-out plan to preserve the wealth you've worked hard all your life to accumulate? Historically, gold and silver have been real financial security for those who understand the abuses and dangers of paper currencies. Have you considered buying gold and silver, but you don't know how to go about doing it? The gold coin industry has a real problem. It abounds with scam artists. I have written a 26-page paper entitled Gold and How to Avoid the Scams in the Coin Industry. So if you'd like to educate yourself before you buy, give me a call, Cal Grunwald, at my new number, 414-234-8267, and I will send you my paper on the scams in the coin industry at no charge. That's 414-234-8267.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
that has literally thousands of pages of research, and then you can have it right at your fingertips, and you can show it to the dentist, you can show it to people, you can explain to them what they're really doing, because you see, we have the science on our side, and they're living a lie. And then we have a DVD called The Smoking Tooth. We actually carry two DVDs that we've gotten from Dr. David Kennedy, and you can call 1-800-544-8927 and ask for them, and they're readily available. We have, of course, two four-tape sets of my interviews with Mark Geyer and the other leaders on this subject, and or my interviews you can get with Dr. David Kennedy. You need to get the information. Certainly we have a four-tape set on autism, direct relationship between the mercury and the autism, the skyrocketing influence of autism. Are you going to wait till it's one of your children or grandchildren who has this terrible disease to get involved? The people who are running this know exactly what they're doing. And I believe there's an organized effort to destroy the minds of our children. They know what they're doing. Do you know a better way to destroy a great nation than to destroy the minds of our future generation? People often say, I don't understand why this is happening. Well, it should be just as plain as the nose on your face. The book we carry on this subject is entitled Evidence of Harm. That's Evidence of Harm. So if you call in, you can get Christy Diamond's DVD. You can get Dr. David Ayoub's DVD, which is called Mercury Autism and the Global Population Agenda. That's Mercury Autism and the Global Population Agenda. You can get The Smoking Tooth, and then ask, and then you can get the one called Thimerosal. So there are four DVDs on this subject. Thimerosal, which really is, it's a fascinating DVD because the first 20 minutes is simply taken from a investigative report done by a television station in the Midwest where they went around and talked to government officials and asked them, why do we have exploding rates of autism? I mean, it's gone from 1 in 10,000 to 1 in 165 or 1 in 150. How do you know it isn't mercury? How do you know it isn't the thimerosal of the vaccines? And the blank looks on these people's faces, well, we just haven't had the time to read the studies, but we know you can trust us because we're from the government and we're here to help you. And then, of course, the last part is a detailed analysis of a talk given by Dr. Mark Geyer and his son David. You'll be fascinated by the material. So that is the DVD called Thimerosal. There's one called The Smoking Tooth. There's, of course, Christy Diamond's one. And then, of course, there's the one by Dr. David Ayoub. The two four-tape sets in the book. All the information you need to know what's going on. And believe me, if you get the Dr. Ayoub DVD or video, why, you're going to get the CD with it free of charge. But understand, it's part of a population control agenda. Now, if you buy any of the items we've listed, why, you'll get to, and just request my population control agenda monograph. We'll send it to you free of charge. And it gives you an overview not only of the fact that they intend to kill off the majority of the world's population, but, of course, that there's a spiritual force behind that. Now, the other thing I just want to mention, if you have not yet begun laying in food, your emergency food supplies, let me encourage you to do it. I think we're moving rapidly towards a crisis in history. And if you'd like a free catalog, a food catalog, emergency food catalog, or emergency health catalog, we'll be glad to send one. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. But if you do have the catalog, don't put it off. Get your order in for the things that you need for the difficult times that lie ahead.
Are terrorist cells or prime terror targets located near you? Where are military bases and hazardous waste sites located? How do you find the best area for solar, average rainfalls, fish contamination advisories, and major transportation routes? In the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA, you will find the information.
Broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of clear digital audio, 22,500 miles above the planet, this is the Global Star Radio Network.
Hale, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And with us this afternoon is Dick Couch. He's written a fascinating book on the Chosen Soldier. And certainly it's the story of the Green Berets. And although Mr. Couch was himself a Naval SEAL, and, of course, a graduate of Annapolis, in the military for many years, in the Central Intelligence Agencies for many years, he has actually written a fascinating book about the Army Special Forces Unit. So, Mr. Couch, thank you so very much for being with us.
My pleasure, and thank you.
Well, now, of course, you were given the opportunity to actually go through a lot of the training with these people, at least. Maybe you didn't have to do all the things that they did, but you accompanied them and certainly understood how they trained this very, very select group. It sounds like, you know, most people really are not equipped psychologically, physically, or mentally to become Green Berets.
Well, right, it's not for everybody, and when I say I went through the course at this stage of the game, being somebody in his early 60s, I audited the course. I didn't really do all the hard things that they had to do. But no, it does take a very special young man to do this type of training, and by and large what the Army's looking for are young men who are tough, but I think more mental toughness than physical toughness. They're looking for especially people who are smart, because there's an awful lot of information that they have to digest, both technical as well as psychological information and maturity aspects that go along with intelligence. And then finally, they're looking for people who, for want of a better word, play well with others. They're looking for people who are outgoing, have outgoing personalities, and like working with other people, because Special Forces soldiers, first and foremost, are teachers.
And as you point out, they many times have to go into very hostile situations, and they actually have to win over the people that they're working with.
Yes.
Well, of course, now what percentage of the people who actually sign up to become a Special Forces? First of all, how are you chosen for Special Forces? Of those who are chosen, how many actually complete the training?
Well, there's two sourcing for Special Forces right now. One of them, they have a program that takes young men who are off the streets, you know, civilians, decide they want to join the Army, and they join the Army specifically to go into Special Forces training. But they go to their boot camp, their advanced training, to airborne school. So they show up at Fort Bragg having been, they're soldiers when they show up there, and specifically they've been through basic infantry training, and they've been to parachute school, jump school. So they're soldiers when they arrive. The other component of them to come into Special Forces training come from the regular Army, the 82nd Airborne, 3rd Infantry Division, another component of the Army. And most of these men, they're older. I say older, most of them late 20s, early 30s. Most of them are combat veterans, having seen action in the active theaters. So these are the two components from that come into Special Forces training. There's various attritions at various parts of the program and throughout the Army training, but it's about 1 in 5 makes it through the training of the people who sign up, who put in for Special Forces training.
And I was amazed to see that, you know, even among the officers, that you know, maybe 1 in 5 of the officers will actually make it through.
Well, it seemed to be more closer to 1 in 4, but the officers, very interestingly enough, officers come into Special Forces training with 4, sometimes even 5 years of experience in another branch of the Army. So they've already proven leaders.
Hold that thought with you, please.
Certainly.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and I guess this afternoon is Dick Couch. And Dick is, of course, the graduate of Annapolis. He was a Naval SEAL. He was with the Central Intelligence Agency. And now he's been allowed to write a book specifically on the training of the Army Special Forces, the Green Berets. And, of course, he actually comments, in his writings that even though many of his fellow SEALs might be a little offended by what he says, he believes that the Army Special Forces, the Green Berets, are the finest fighting men in the world. Would that be a fair statement?
Well, I think that, when I say the finest fighting, I think that the skills specifically that Army Special Forces have that focus on unconventional warfare and foreign internal defense, they are the best trained, and the primary skill set that they hold is training others to fight. So while we're trying to teach the Iraqis to manage their own security, these are soldiers specifically trained to do just that. Now, when you get into Rangers, Navy SEALs, and what have you, they have a slightly different skill set. Theirs is more direct action, a little more behind-the-gun skills. They're not quite the teachers that Special Forces are. To say who's the toughest, that's sort of not really appropriate in the discussion. I think what's more appropriate is that Army Special Forces are trained to do what we need most, and that's to train Afghans and Iraqis to manage their own security.
Well, now, do many of these have language skills as well for specific regions?
All of the special operations have various components of language training, but only Special Forces require that each and every soldier go to language training. And the Special Forces groups, they specialize in various areas of the world. Right now, 5th Special Forces Group, those are where your primary, your Arabic speakers, but that doesn't mean you won't find them in other groups as well. But all Army Special Forces, as they're going through training, will go to language school. It's not in-depth, it's in-depth, but it may only go on for 2 to 4 months of the training, but it is full-time, in-depth language training to equip them to go overseas and be able to work with others in their native tongue.
Well, I know I'm reading that book, Hunting Ben Laden, the story of the Special Forces in Afghanistan. The groups that were sent in there, these people already knew at least much of the dialect. And I was rather impressed that there already were people there ready to go in at that time who knew the customs of Afghanistan. So we'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Dick Couch, and he's written a fascinating book about the Green Berets, but specifically about Green Beret training. So why don't you pick up the story and tell us, what makes this training so difficult, so demanding, and why then, when people finish this training, are they certainly more skilled, at least as far as what they do, than just about any other group?
Well, they have a specific skill set that relates to working with other cultures and training other cultures in military skills and security issues. So that alone sets them apart. But when they're recruited, the Army Special Forces are looking for young men who have adaptability skills, they're flexible, they have the ability, and they can test them to find out this person can probably learn a foreign language rather quickly. They also certainly have to work with their specialties, communications, weapons, medical skills, engineering. So they need people that are smart enough to be able to master some of these disciplines and also be tactically proficient in the field, and to work with others and to become teachers, to train others to do these things. So it's a very defined skill set. Again, as I mentioned at the start of the program there, they're looking for people who are tough, smart, and who play well with others.
Well, of course, then they operate ordinarily in very, very small units, don't they? Teams of what, either 6 or 12 men?
Well, they deploy in 12-man units. That's the basic deployment unit, the Special Forces Detachment Alpha. But they're interchangeable. They can go out in 2-man elements or 12-man elements. Quite often, they're working with other forces. I spent a little bit of time in Iraq, and whereas the entire team went out with the Iraqis who were doing most of the work and doing the search and looking for the insurgents in this particular area we were, there would be two or three Special Forces soldiers managing maybe six or eight of the Iraqis as they went about their duties. So they can break down, they can fight as a unit, but they rarely do that. They're more oftenly broken down working with smaller groups of Iraqis or Afghans, and they're also other places. They're in Africa, they're in the Philippines, where our interests are threatened by insurgents.
Well, now, as I read the book, my understanding, you correct me if I'm wrong, but we're nearly not more than maybe 2,000 of these deployed all over the world at any one time. Is that a fair estimate?
I think so. The Special Forces list their Special Forces Command list their force at 12,000 men. But, you know, when you really count it up, some of those are back here. Many of them are, you can't be forward all the time. I think that you're looking at more closer between 3,500 and 4,000 Special Forces deployable, ready to go out the door and go overseas. But when you have 4,000 men ready to go, you can't keep them all overseas at all times. So I would say that probably we have maybe 1,500 Green Berets in detachments on the ground doing good work overseas. And of that 1,500, maybe 1,000 of them could be in Iraq.
All right, and so many times, though, don't they operate behind enemy lines, and they have to be able to go in and operate behind enemy lines and fight behind enemy lines and survive behind enemy lines? Isn't that sort of something that they do on occasion?
Well, they do, in as much as there are lines on the battlefield today. Typically, they're in towns and villages. They're out there working with tribesmen. A lot of times they're living in their communities and helping them there. Now, is that behind enemy lines? Well, it's certainly the surrounding countryside is hostile, and it's very threatening. But they're not so much what you would call behind enemy lines as we would think of classically in World War II, where, you know, the OSS and some of the forerunners of Special Forces parachuted into France and Norway to work behind, you know, enemy-controlled territory. But they do certainly are out there in hostile areas. They do have to pay attention to their security at all times, as well as the security of those that they're working with.
Well, reading that the description in the book, Hunting Bin Laden, I mean, I don't know how many Special Forces teams they had in Afghanistan right after we deployed, but we deployed our first troops there, in early October. The attack was in September 11th. And the troops were on the ground, within 4 weeks or so. But, with just a very, very small number of Special Forces troops and the Northern Alliance and American air power, they totally destroyed this Taliban army within a matter of just a relatively few weeks. It was an amazing accomplishment.
It certainly was. Mobilization of the Northern Alliance under the leadership of Army Special Forces and the CIA operatives there to move south. The Russian Army was there with a large conventional force for a decade, and they couldn't do what those men did in a matter of months. And it's a tribute. It's a classic unconventional warfare operation where it's called by, with, and through. We worked with them to accomplish our goals, and it was an unconventional warfare war that will be studied, a long time in the future as being a classic where we leveraged our soldiers, our Special Forces soldiers, and the local tribes to overthrow a government that needed to be disposed of.
All right. Well, now, of course, are they deploying these Special Forces units, independent of our Army units over there at the present time, in both Afghanistan and Iraq?
No, they're not. They typically will be co-located, maybe with some Marines, maybe with some Army guys. Quite often, they will work with conventional forces. Maybe the conventional forces will serve as a blocking force, while the Special Forces, Army Special Forces, will, and their Iraqis will move into an area to look for insurgents. Don't forget, under what's going on in Iraq now and in Afghanistan, or let's talk about Iraq, under General Petraeus, he wants our soldiers, special operators, and conventional forces out there with the Iraqis, shoulder to shoulder, working together, patrolling the neighborhoods, making those neighborhoods and cities and communities and tribal areas secure from insurgents. And there seem to be, at least from what I read, enjoying a good bit of success as they move, as they do this.
But of course, don't the insurgents just sort of melt back into the community and just stop fighting for the time being, and then as soon as the Americans either pull out or move on, why, of course, the whole idea, I know, is to keep them there so that they'll have that, but sooner or later, the Americans are going to have to leave, and at that point, of course, the insurgents will come back again. Isn't that the fear?
Well, that is the fear, and certainly one thing, but if you have what we're finding right now, experiencing, and even in places like Ramadi, once there's security there, the insurgents, they can't hide in those populations, because the populations will come and say, hey, that down the street there, that house, there's a bunch of those guys in there. And it's not like the Americans go and get them. The local Iraqi security forces go and get them. They don't want these insurgents in their presence. So the whole thing is, if we just do it ourselves, yes, when we leave, it'll all come apart. But the job is to train the Iraqis to manage their own security.
Well, of course, I mean, that's a wonderful idea, and I certainly hope and pray that it would work. But it sounds like you've got not one war, but a number of wars. You've got one Shia group fighting another Shia group, the Mahdi's army fighting some of the others. You've got the Shias fighting the Sunnis, and the Sunnis fighting the Shias, and then you have one Sunni group fighting the other Sunni group, and you got the small group of Al-Qaeda, I don't know, probably, you know, some people say, you know, 1,000, 2,000 of them, and they want to, of course, hit the Americans, and then you've got the people up in Kurdistan. They want to get rid of the Arabs and the Turkmen out of Kirkuk. So it looks to me like you've got about five different wars going on over there.
Well, it is a very complex mosaic of competing interests, tribal interests, ethnic interests, and I don't mean to minimize that at all, but in many of these communities, you'll find Sunnis and Shias working together to bring stability to the communities. They're just getting a little tired of the war that goes on. And I think we're starting to make some headway there. Is it too little, too late? Perhaps it is. You know, I don't have a crystal ball on this at all. I wish shortly after we got to Baghdad, we'd start doing what we're doing right now. It could have maybe made the difference. But the whole...
If it's in the troops that the generals wanted, if they'd let the generals win the war, I think we've got a great military, and I think we've got brave fighting men. But they've been blocked by people at the Pentagon at every turn. They would not give them the troops they needed to do the job.
Well, it's you know, that you certainly may have a point there, and of course we'll look at where we had three times the troop strength in Vietnam as we did in Iraq, and that was an insurgency we couldn't put down either. The whole key, and this is my opinion, is working with the existing power structure, and that could be the sheikhs in the local areas, their tribal interests, to go to them and say, okay, what can we do to help you continue with your life, preserve the security in your neighborhood and tribal areas? And when we've done that, it's worked just fine. Doesn't matter whether Sunni, Shia, Kurd, or what have you.
Because my understanding is very often the people who do work with the Americans, they become targeted, and they and their families many oftentimes are actually killed because they are looked upon as collaborators. So it's really such a terribly difficult situation for the Iraqis and terribly difficult for our men as well.
Yes, indeed. No, I don't mean to minimize that it's not easy. Beating an insurgency takes patience, persistence, and presence.
Well, hold that. We'll be back in just a moment with Dick Couch on his book, Chosen Soldier. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Dick Couch, who himself is...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
This very, very highly trained, very skillful group of young men who really were instrumental in just a few months, and really a relatively few weeks, with the help of the Northern Alliance and American Air Power, of completely defeating the Taliban army. And you know, if you look at the casualties the Taliban incurred, it's just almost unbelievable. And we're talking about literally tens of thousands of Taliban were killed, and I don't know, but we got lost no more than a handful of our own men. It was one of the great military feats of all time.
Oh, it certainly was. The marshaling of the Northern Alliance with the our intelligence community and Army Special Forces community, I have this image in my mind of of these these Northern Alliance soldiers and their camels and horses and trucks and what have you, and this one lone Special Forces sergeant standing there with his beard and sunglasses on, and in one hand he's got his rifle, in the other hand he's got a radio. And that Taliban command, or that Northern Alliance commander, doesn't get too far from that sergeant because he controls those air assets and the support that allowed the Northern Alliance to sweep through Afghanistan.
Well, because now, of course, the Taliban and the insurgents are not going to put themselves into that same position of disadvantage where, of course, American air power can be used against them. They're going to avoid that like the plague, aren't they?
I think so, and of course everybody's saying, well, what about the big summer offensive? Are they going to come back? Well, if I hope they get together in groups, because when they get together in groups, they become very, very vulnerable. Afghanistan is a very difficult area. It's a tribal area. The people there are, again, the ethnic and tribal differences rule all, so it's going to take probably a longer time to bring complete national stability there, just because of the diverse factions that make up Afghanistan, than perhaps Iraq. But we'll just have to see on that. But no, Afghanistan is a very different, very special place. That's for sure.
Well, I know I have certainly read in some of the other books, like Crude Politics and other books, that the Special Forces men wanted to go after Osama bin Laden, and of course they weren't allowed to. There seemed to be there were people in Washington, D.C. who would not let our Special Forces capture Osama bin Laden and the al-Qaeda leadership, and that just has prolonged this war now for over 5 years. Why wouldn't they let them go ahead and do what they could have done so well?
Well, I think that what you're saying is partly true. Believe me, if they could have got their hands on him, they would have done it, and everybody wanted to get their hands on him. I would have to believe, this is just my opinion, that bin Laden, if he's still alive, is hiding out someplace in the border regions in Pakistan. Pakistan has its own set of problems, its own political landscape. That means we just can't say, well, we know where he is, let's just go get him. General Musharraf has been an ally of the United States in this venture, and we have to take into consideration his position there. So, I can't give you, well, why don't we just go and do it? The fact is, we haven't, and there are political reasons why we haven't. If bin Laden wants to come back into Afghanistan, and we know where he is, I think he's a got guy at that time.
Well, don't you, since you've mentioned he may be dead. Now, of course, I've heard these rumors for quite some time that he's been dead for some time, and they just keep putting his pictures out there because, just to sort of terrify the American people. But aren't there an awful lot of rumors that he really has died some time ago?
Well, I think that is the case, and it came out in the 9/11 Commission. They could never really establish that he was alive or dead. But Al-Qaeda is not 10 feet tall. Their infrastructure has been degraded severely. 70% of their leaders have been caught and dealt with. And if bin Laden's alive, he and his senior people, they don't sleep in the same bed too often.
I'm sure they didn't. And one of the things that was interesting, you pointed out that most of the Al-Qaeda leaders have been caught by Special Forces personnel, was that right?
Well, it's not so much Al-Qaeda, we're talking the Ba'athists.
Okay.
Saddam Hussein, we had the deck of cards with a bunch of pictures, and 44 of those guys were caught either by Special Forces or by intelligence developed by Special Forces. They certainly have harvested their share of Al-Qaeda as well. Part of collecting intelligence on these bad guys is getting the locals to trust you and to give you the information, and that's the strong suit of Army Special Forces.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment, here at Radio Liberty. Mm-hmm. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Mr. Dick Couch. His book is Chosen Soldier, and, of course, we're talking about the training of the Special Forces. Now, did the Special Forces give you special permission to actually go down there to Fort Bragg and, you know, at least audit the course? This is not something just anybody can do, is it?
Oh, no, I had to have permission from the Army and from the Army Special Forces Command, or, first of all, Special Operations Command, that has all services, Special Operations Forces, then the Army Special Operations Command, and then the JFK Center and School that trains Army Special Forces. So I had to have these permissions up the line before I could join the young men who were trying to become Army Green Berets. So, you know, there was some permission that had to have happen. Fortunately, I have enjoyed good relations with the military, and I've written several books regarding Navy SEAL training, and I think the Army sort of appreciated what I did in documenting SEAL training and allowed me to come and be their guest as well.
All right, fine. And then, of course, how long was it were you actually with the unit there at Fort Bragg? Did you go all the way through it?
About a year, yes.
So you were actually with them for a year.
Yes, and I didn't go through some of the SEER training, that's the survival, escape, that type of thing. And the language training, I sat in, I saw what went on, but I didn't sit through, you know, a couple months of language training.
Now, certainly some of the situations you outlined there, were they actually simulated what it would be like working, you know, with these people from foreign cultures, you know, officers from the Allied Army who wants to cut off people's ears or to face the enemy and things like that. And these things, of course, are out of the certainly not the sort of thing our forces do.
Oh, no. We have our enemies, they do some pretty heinous things to our forces and local populations. They're terrorists. And we are bound up by rules of engagement that dictate that we conduct ourselves in an appropriate way. And that's and rightly so. We're a part of, we have military forces, but certainly a part of our presence has to do with our values and our ideas, and those are appreciated around the world. So we're bound by those rules of engagement, the rules of land warfare, and that's how we have to conduct ourselves.
Well, certainly that's true for our military, but many of our allies don't play by those games, those same rules, do they?
Well, it depends on allies. I think if we're talking perhaps Iraqi or Afghan allies, they certainly have a little different slant on things.
Hold that thought right there, please.
Sure.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and before we go on, I want Mr. Couch to get out his web page or how people can get copies of his book. Would you like to tell our listeners if you have a web page or how can they get your book?
Well, I really don't have a web page per se. I'm not... if you want my book, go down to your local bookstore and ask for it and show them the business. That's always a good thing to do. And if for some reason your local bookstore isn't handy, then one of the online stores, Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, they can certainly make sure that one gets in the mail just as soon as you call them.
All right. Of course, Amazon will certainly be carrying it, and I'm sure that at Borders will as well.
So. Absolutely.
All right, Chris, who is your publisher?
It's Random House, but the imprint of this book, Chosen Soldier, is Crown Books.
All right, fine. So, certainly Crown is a subdivision of Random House. Now, you know, basically as you go through this story of the training, it takes a full year. Were the people in Special Forces anxious for you to tell this story? In other words, are they actively trying to recruit people into this? Why would they, you know, allow you to be with them, you know, for this period of time? Unless perhaps they were trying to get the information about their organization.
Well, I think they appreciate it. Certainly they're looking for good young men to come into their organization. When I did the Warrior Elite and the Finishing School that documented Navy SEAL training, they appreciate the books in that I try to give a fair picture of what it is. It's not for everybody, and some young men will read this book and say, you know, that's really not for me, and they've made a good decision when they decide that. And others may say, you know, that I think that is for me. That does strike a chord. Or, I'd like to be in military special operations. Gee, do I want to become a Ranger? Do I want to become a Green Beret? Do I want to become a Navy SEAL? They all have different skill sets, different mission requirements, and they take a different type of person. So that information is good information in recruiting. And also, I get calls from young men all the time who say, you know, I'm thinking getting ready to do this type of thing. I had a question for you. They want to be prepared for this. They want to succeed. And I think sometimes my books will help somebody once they read it, understand it, think about it, will prepare them and pave the way for a successful tour to become an American Special Operations warrior.
All right, fine. What if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Mr. Couch? My telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And the people in Special Forces are professional soldiers. They are certainly highly trained warriors, and they, of course, dedicated to this because they believe, of course, that this is an important part of defending our country. And would you say they are, as a whole, highly patriotic?
Oh, very much so. I think that, and they come from different reasons. Some of them, very much, they want to serve. They all want to serve. Some of them, I think it's the challenge, it's the brotherhood, and it certainly is a brotherhood. All these organizations, the Special Operations Forces, they are a brotherhood. For some of them, they want to work with other people, certainly in the case of the Army Special Forces. The idea to travel, when I was in Iraq, there was the team sergeant I was with. I said, how many times you been here? And he said, this is my third trip to Iraq. This is the 43rd country that I've been to in my service in the last 24 years. To some people, that to travel the world that widely and work with other militaries is why they joined Army Special Forces. But they all have a certain degree of patriotism, that's for sure.
Well, now, when you were over there, were you over in Iraq, whatever, in 2005, 2000, or 2006?
Actually, it was last May.
All right, fine. So, now, what about the Iraqi military? Certainly, initially, they were sort of a disaster. Many people have suggested that within the Iraqi military, there are many, many people from the death squads. Do you think that they've got that pretty well cleaned up, and that, you know, the Iraqi military is doing everything they can to really, serve the central government and to bring stability to the nation?
Well, it varies. Some of them are very good. Some of them aren't so good. They don't have the military tradition like we have, and they certainly don't. It's not a meritocracy like our military is. It's under Saddam Hussein. It was all patronage. And also, they don't have the strong enlisted non-commissioned officer corps. Don't forget, these teams are out there, and you might find 200 or 300 years of experience in those senior sergeants out there in a team. I mean, they really know their business. So no other military, unless it's a Western, a British or an Australian or a German military organization, has that depth of talent in there. Now, having said that, when I was over there, I asked the guys, I said, how are the guys you're working with? They were working with a border tribe that's on the Syrian Iraqi border. They said the local sheikh gives us the guys to train. We train them up, and they do very, very well. They're on instructions from their local tribal leadership to cooperate with us. We like working with them. We like training them. They're our brothers. So I think when they're properly coached, motivated, and trained by Americans to do the job, they can be as good as we can, and a matter of fact, they can be better because they know the language, they know the people, they know the territory.
Well, okay. One of the things that's always really disturbed me is certainly Saddam Hussein, whether you like him or not, he had a military, and a very professional military, and this could have been a great adjunct to our occupation, and it would have made it much easier had we kept the structure of their society intact, had we kept their military, their police force, kept the factories running, kept the civil service. But instead of doing that, Paul Bremer went over there. Paul Bremer went over there the 1st of May of 2003 and immediately disbanded everything and led, in, at least in my estimation, to the chaos we have today. What is your take on this, and wouldn't it have been far better if they'd had the military and then kept it intact and just got anybody out who participated in any murderous activity, but kept the structure of the Iraqi military so they wouldn't have to start from scratch?
Well, you know, I think at this stage of the game, we know what didn't work, okay? That's really the only thing we can say for sure. That didn't work. I do believe that keeping the Ba'athist structure and the Sunni leadership in place would have solved some problems, but the Shias would have a very difficult time with that. Obviously, you know, Paul Bremer now, he's the whipping boy for all our problems right now, but we as a nation did this, and you know, we're always saying, well, we should have done this, should have done that.
But we didn't do it. Paul Bremer did. I mean, he was the man. He had the ability to say this is what's going to happen, and the generals objected, and he did what he wanted
to.
He thought he was smarter than they were.
Then let's blame Paul Bremer.
we'll blame Paul Bremer.
And I think that he was wrong. Don't get me wrong. I'm not a supporter of what he did at all. I tend to look at these things and say that it would have changed things. Probably for the better, but there's just no guarantees. I do know that what we're doing right now, working with the existing local power structures, shoulder to shoulder with the Iraqis, does seem to be working, and whether it'll be enough to get this job done, I don't know. I certainly hope so. I'd hate to see it not work, but it's a very complex situation there.
Well, I think we all hope and pray that it will work and that we can get our boys out of there just as soon as we have some sort of stable society over there. Well, anyway, of course, is there any things you'd like specifically to stress about the Green Berets? Because you've written the entire book about them, about their training, about what motivates them, about this esprit de corps that they have, about this idea they're a band of brothers. I mean, you're certainly they're as close as any blood brothers, really.
Well, I think that, first of all, it's nice to know that America still produces quality young men. And this is a combat, ground combat arms, so we're talking young men here. That's just, those are the laws of the land, and that's the way it is. But Chris is young men who want to serve and are willing to give up and sacrifice to do this. And these are young men who have a lot of opportunities. They can go out and make money. It's not like, gee, I need a job. I better go do this. They're doing this because they want to do it. One thing that struck me, not only their patriotism, their abilities, and their sacrifice, was Army Special Forces is one of the few organizations where diversity has played a role in operational success. Obviously, within America, racial diversity, ethnic diversity is something we strive for because, for want of a better word, it's the right thing to do. But in Army Special Forces, because they're always dealing in cross-cultural situations, if you have a bunch of white guys and some black guys and some Asian guys and some Mexican guys all working together, first of all, a lot of times they'll come up with a good solution to a problem because they all have various ethnic backgrounds to draw upon to solve a problem. And the second thing, it just looks good to see a squad of American boys patrolling through an area or working that have diverse ethnic and racial backgrounds. It just sends the word out to many of the communities where they are that it does work. A lot of these in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other places around the world, these people don't like each other if they're from a different tribe or a different religion or a different sect. But they look at Americans and say, you know, these guys seem, they're brothers. And they look different and they are different, but they're brothers. And so I think it sends a very powerful message. It's not only operationally conducive to have a good ethnic mix in your detachment, but it's also, it looks good.
And you made that point very well in your book, and I thought that was a very, very interesting observation that he was here over there in Iraq by, you know, the people from one Sunni tribe hate the other Sunni tribe, and the people from one Shia group hit the other Shia group, and then the Shias as a whole hate the Sunnis, and the Sunnis as a whole hate the Shias, and they people have to learn to live together. And I know this is what I lived in Africa for a time, and I lived in South Africa where there are eight tribal groups, and every tribal group hated every other tribal group. Every within the tribal groups, why one tribal group portion would hate another tribal group portion. And practicing medicine there, you had to be very, very careful. You know, when you had a patient in the hospital, they were seriously ill, that you didn't, for instance, have a Zulu nurse with the cause of the patient. They just turn off the IV and let him die. You have to get people to understand we all have to live together.
Oh, yeah.
I really, really appreciated that, this idea that you brought out in your book.
Well, I think you're quite right there. And I've talked to the guys over in Iraq, and I says, what do you see? And he says, well, you know, sometimes we get a bunch of Sunnis, and they won't do it, or a bunch of Shias, and they won't do it. He said, but, you know, I had a group that were mixed. They were half and half. And we explained to them what needed to get done to bring security. And they patrolled. They worked together. They supported each other. I was out on one operation where the guys who were kicking the doors and going in were Sunnis, tribesmen. And the blocking force were Shias, and it worked. So it can get done. And sometimes it doesn't get done. So it takes an awful lot of patience to bring about a situation that's acceptable to everybody. And we're a long way from getting this thing right. Hopefully, what's going on right now in the active theaters will lead to a resolution that works for everybody.
Well, because the whole idea now is, Chris, is to have the American forces embedded with the Iraqi forces so that they'll be there to back them up, to encourage them, to train them, and perhaps to act as the intermediary.